You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have found in the upper room, just before hours, literally a handful, little more, before he's crucified. So God is dealing with his 11 disciples, and he's giving them the wonderful, wonderful information of a unique relationship. They have spent 3 1/3 years with him. And now they're told how that, because all they could do is be with him and understand and experience his presence. But they could not have his life, his understanding, his power. And therefore, God is telling them now, as he goes and leaves, that they ought to be rejoicing, in which we share together. They did not understand that, as we read in last time. They ought to be rejoicing that he's going to the Father. But they just didn't catch on. All they saw was an end. And as far as they were concerned, prison or death itself. So here they are being given a unique, wonderful instruction, an education, if you would, of a relationship that God intended and the world has put it aside, especially Israel has put it aside. And in God's grace, God's going to go and demonstrate to the world what they should have known. And he's going to go and be crucified and rise again. And he's going to give these 11 the instructions of what it's going to be like. God is going to demonstrate his wonderful grace. God is going to demonstrate his resurrected life. And the only sign, as we've said 100 times, the only sign he's going to give the world and the Jews is the sign of an empty tomb and the sign of a risen, of the sign of a risen Christ, empty tomb, and demonstrated by whosoever's that believe that he places in a unique, privileged relationship to him that no one else will ever have. They can never have it. Moses can't have it. That doesn't mean it isn't wonderful. They just can't have that relationship that God has made possible in his grace right now. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in the upper room, he's telling them, as he's about the standing, he's going out the door, and he's letting them know that you've got to abide, as we've shared, as the branch abides in the vine, as the, like a tree abiding. And the branch is just a branch, and it enjoys all the privileges of the life of the vine, of the life of the tree. And as it would if you're going to use a grapevine, which is be correct, then the grapes are going to be there. And all the little twig that candles those grapes is going to have the life of the vine. And it doesn't belong to the vine. It doesn't belong to the branch. It belongs to the vine. But the branch is so connected, so abiding, that the wonderful, wonderful activity of the vine, the life of the vine, is going to be shown in the grapes when you see them. Now, God, you've done that, and all of it is wonderful. And the statement you make, as we're going to go back to them again and again here, God would say, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And he means every drop of it. And you need to understand what he means. You need to understand what he's saying. And that's what we're seeking to do. Otherwise, people say it's impossible, it's stupid, it never happened. Wrong, 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 wrong. You miss the whole point of what we're here for. We're here to demonstrate the wonderful resurrected life of Jesus Christ in you and in the local body, to demonstrate the evidence. Now, what is the, what, back, chapter 15. So therefore, God, you're doing this awesome, wonderful thing, and you're telling us that we need to go, as you tell them, in verse, if I can, verse 9. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's verse 8. And you shall be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide. The word continue, abide, the same as above. Abide ye in my love. Now that isn't your love. That isn't our love. That's his love. Now God, that's what you want. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, abide in my love. Well, where do you get your love? I am letting my Father love me. And I am abiding in my Father's love. And you are privileged to know my Father's love because of me. I'm the connection. I'm the connection between a holy God and a sinful human being. I make the connection. I do. I make the connection. I'm the one that dies on the cross. I'm the one that takes your sin in my own body on the tree. I'm the one that rises again. I'm the one who gives you the life. I'm the connection. I'm the connection. So you abide in my love, which is actually God's love, the Father's love. Now, hang on to that. And if you keep my commandments, verse 10, and you may or may not, if you keep them, third class, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Wow. Now, God, that's what you're doing. And God kept his word. And we shared it in Sunday school a little bit. God is the word. God, Christ, God, the Son, is the word. John 1:1. He is the Word become flesh. He put on a human body. He connected himself in some super-duper way to his holy, holy person, to a perfect humanity in the life of the Lord Jesus. And he has a unique relationship. And the Lord Jesus Christ is evidencing what? What is he going to do? Having a unique relationship to the Father. He's going to demonstrate what? The Father, the Son, God the Father, God the Son, in this perfect humanity, he's going to demonstrate what? His word. And so his words, you kept his commandments. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I keep his commandments? Why would it? Because he loves. I'm in his love. And that's why I keep his word. Hang on, because that's what I'd like to try to connect. To help us with that, would you go now in the light of that in verse 11? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And we shared that, all that together a little bit. Now, so the joy, and now God, remember God in his wonderful, wonderful person, is God. God is love, God is glorious, and God is love. Now God, and we shared together, I think, last time or so, God is, just think of the word joy, J-O-Y, and I'm going to go back two levels down. I'm going to go to the word pleasure. Something is a pleasure to you. Now I'm going to elevate pleasure. It's more than pleasure, it's a delight to you. Now I'm going to go to the top. It's a joy to you. Pleasure, delight, joy. You leap for joy. That's his word. Joy. I'm going to give you my love, my peace, my joy. the excitement, the wonderment, the awesome what is happening in God's grace to glorify his wonderful, magnificent person. And I'm going to help you have a part. The vine, the branch, is going to enjoy the excitement of heaven. Remember, we share that in all, Luke chapter 15, 7 and 10. The angels rejoice over what? One person that repents. Heaven rejoices. Heaven has joy over one person that repents. Not 50. Here's 5,000. I don't need. You can't find 5,000. I'll find one of them. And God only needs one of them to prove his point, as you'll pick that up at 6 o'clock. God only needs one person in the light of all the angels in whose presence we sit. God only needs one person to believe. They are guilty, and they believe that Jesus Christ was absolutely right in judging them. And angels pay attention. Now, so having that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would. So therefore, now in order to enjoy this love, what do we need to understand? Well, God said, listen, you can't enjoy the love without keeping my word. You've got to honor my word. How could you not honor? You have to honor my word. And well, I think of it, we shared it in Sunday school, but hold your finger here. Back over to John chapter 5. And John chapter 5, picking up in verse 17, if I may. 5 and 17. The Lord Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, is working, hitherto when I work, I have wonderful, wonderful, perfect freedom to outwork God's wonderful work. My Father is working, and I am working. I am in full agreement with the Father, and I have freedom to live that life that God has given and is. When you're saved, it isn't we aren't talking about some slavery. We're talking about the delight, the joy of being able to exercise a relationship to God. And whether you eat or drink or whatever you do to the glory of God, and you have the freedom to do it because God is giving you the life to do it, to express. And all people can eat and all people need to drink water and all of that. But the believer does it in a whole different realm with thanksgiving to God who gave the stomach to absorb the food and everything else. And they do it. And they're different because they are loved and they are loving. Now, therefore, back over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and in verse 13. Verse 12 first. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we're supposed to do, I think you've ended verse 12, as God is loving you, you are to love one another. You got that? I know that. I don't need to help you with that. Because we all do it, right? We all love each other, just like God is loving us now, right? I don't know what to do with us. It's such an exciting thing. We aren't talking about I like somebody or I may love my wife or something. We're talking about a relationship. Now, God, I need to understand that because it doesn't make sense to us little old humans. So God, help it, because what are you saying, God? You can't enjoy my joy unless you enjoy what I am enjoying. Have you got it? How are you going to enjoy my joy if you don't enjoy what I'm enjoying? I didn't ask about your joy. It's my joy, God's joy. That's what I enjoy. Now you need to enjoy what I enjoy. But what do you enjoy, God? I enjoy honoring God. Do you understand? I enjoy honoring His word, His will, His way. Now God said, therefore, I'm telling you, that's what you're helping them with. Verse 11, you're going to encourage them. If you're going to know joy, you're going to have to be obedient and walk and abide. And if you don't abide, you'll never know it. You've got to practically do it. Not by your works or by your self-effort, but by in God's grace and in God's mercy. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, to do this all kinds of ways again, but a little bit to catch it. Over if you would to 1 John, the first epistle of John, and in the first epistle of John, may I pick up the movement, there's a unique relationship. Pick it up, please, with me in chapter 1, verse 3. That which, what are you saying, John, Apostle John, the last living apostle, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, purpose, that, what are you saying it for, writing it for? Ye also may have fellowship, union, communion with us. And truly our union, communion, fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A unique, abiding relationship to Almighty God. In verse 4, and these things, we just read them, write we unto you. Why do you want us to read and understand this? That your joy may be full and complete. And remember we shared that in John when we were there. The Lord Jesus said in John 15:11, that I want your joy to be full. How can you have, if you're going to share my joy flowing in the branch, it's a full, complete package, joy. And if you're going to enjoy it, you don't enjoy it piecemeal or 30% or 10%. If you're going to enjoy my love, it's all of it. If you're going to enjoy my peace, it's all of it. If you're going to enjoy my joy, it's all of it. All of it. All the branch can do is absorb and take it in. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, chapter 2. And in chapter 2, picking up in verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him. If, remember the little word, keep to God, to observe carefully. Chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We'll know him. I know him. You know him. Hopefully, we all do. If we keep his commandments, that's the only way. That's the evidence. That's the evidence. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, completed, perfect, finished. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, remember John 15. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So how can you be is the life in the branch different than the vine? No. If the branch is connected to the vine, it has to be the same life, the same movement. That's what it has to be. It has to be. If he walked, you walk. Think of John 17:18 without turning there. As my Father sent me, what? So send I you. Just like I am sent, you now represent me, my body, you represent me the same way. So God, we aren't talking about some other dream or some earthbound. No, God, you want to be God. That's right. in all of your wonderfulness. Now, having said that, in verse 6, or if I can, in the light of that, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now hang on, because we're going to get it together, because God said, you're going to have to go and love one another. Now you, and if we're counting on that, man, are we all in trouble up and down the world. We are in trouble, because that's not happening. No, sir. Not like it should. In no way, it'd be so obvious, no. So therefore God, in the light of that, over to chapter 3. We'll do it in John, 1 John. Chapter 3, if I can, picking up the same movement. Chapter 3, and in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Now, why is it? Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. You keep saying it, God. I do. Because that's how it works. That's how it works. We just read it in John 5:17. My Father works and I work. I have the wonderful thing to be in the will of God, trusting God, and God's doing what he's doing, and I'm in full agreement with it, and I'm going with it. God said, using an illustration, not very good, God said, whatever you eat or drink, do it to my honor and glory. And that's what God said. Didn't he say that? So, God, here we go, and we drink. That's what we do. I would take some, but then you'd sit there and say, he has some water and you don't. So I'm not taking any, so that you know. Just like David. David wouldn't take any of the stuff that they brought him. They brought him at special, at great cost. And David said, I'm not touching that stuff. It cost you. I'm not touching it. Anyway, so they got the idea. Anyway, chapter 3, and verse 22. And whatsoever you ask, you receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Well, what is that? That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. That we should believe on the name of the Son of God, and love one another as he gave. So what are you looking for, God? You're looking for us to be believing. That's right. And when you're believing, you're going to be loving. Why? Because you're looking. How can you abide in the branch? You're abiding in my love. How can you abide in my love as the branch and not have my love flowing through you? How can you abide and not have my love flowing through you? It means you're not abiding. I didn't ask for your love. I asked for my love. That's what you're abiding in. And therefore, here's the tree, imagination, grapevine, twigs, and here's all the branches. Here we are, branch. Branch 1, 2, 3, 4 branches. Here we are. And we're all the same tree. We all have the same, everything flowing through us, right? The branch three feet up has the same life that the one 4 feet up has. It has everything in it. Over here, what difference does it make? As long as it's connected to the tree, it has to have the same everything. So therefore, it's all the same. And it should show up, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it show up among all the branches? So if we could go and have a little cut, make-believe, imagination, we're going to cut into the branch and look into the branch number 4, and branch number 4, and you want to go like a lab at the hospital, and you're going to take a little bit of it and put it in the thing. Is it? See what kind of blood it is, what kind of love it is. Well, that's God's love. I go down to the 3rd branch, and I cut a little hole in it, and I go and take it to the lab, and what kind of love is it? God's love. And every branch I take, it's the same love, isn't it? It's the same life. That's what you're saying, God. That's right. I didn't ask you to use your love. I asked you to understand. How can you possibly, you'll pick it up in a sec here, how can you possibly enjoy your relationship if you don't enjoy my love? How on earth are you going to enjoy my life, my joy? Tell me, how are you going to have any joy? You don't. The average, go think of all the believers. You go watch them. Watch them for all this week. See how much joy they have. Come on. Now, God, so what are you saying? Therefore, I'm going to read it again, verse 20. And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of Son Jesus Christ, and that love one another as gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and God in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us abiding, by the Spirit which he hath given us. God, that's what you're doing, in a most wonderful way. Wow. Chapter 4. If I can, picking up verse 16, wonderful chapter, 4 and 16. And we know, and we have known, and believe the love that God hath to us, 4 and 16. That has God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And then you go up to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So it isn't something we decided to love God. No, we didn't even care about God. God loved us and created us and made us and died for us. Therefore, verse 20, if a man say, this is chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from God, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You love branch number 4 loves branch number 3. It's the same love. So not a question of that. It's a question. Hang on, we're going to put it together. Maybe we can get there. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, God, that begat God, loveth him also. That is begotten. That means love one another. God saved me, God saved you. No. God loves me, God loves you. That's what it is. It isn't us. No, it's God. Verse 2. And we know that we love children of God. And this we know, verse 2, 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, what are you saying, God? You can't enjoy joy without enjoying my love. You can't do that. You can't have it, because it's one. They're all the same. It's like trying to say, I'm going to enjoy part of God. Or we enjoy part of a person. Part of a person. We like to have pizza with them, but not to go bowling with them. It's a silly illustration. We piecemeal it. You can't do that. Can't do that. No. Verse 4. Verse 3. This is the love of God. What is the love of God, by the way? Pretty easy. In that, verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or heavy. They're burdensome. They aren't heavy. They aren't burdensome. They aren't. They aren't at all. They aren't. Hold your finger here a minute and go over, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11, which you know. In Matthew chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 28, little context. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Remember now, God opens the door. The Jews have rejected him, 11:20 and all of that. And therefore, anyone, whosoever, Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, remember, ox yoke, goes around the ox, one ox and two oxes are together under the yoke, and learn of me, get your learning, get your education from me, your experience, the word learn, to be experiencing knowledge, to have an experience, not just an intellectual academic, but an actual experience of me. How are you going to have that? Well, listen, if you were an ox, and you put yourself, and your master went and put you under a yoke, would you, if you're under that yoke, and you're under the old ox, who lives under that yoke, you're a new ox under the yoke. Now, are you going to know, are you going to be able to say, after a day in the field, are you going to say that you have experienced being under the yoke? What would you think? You spent a whole 10-hour day under the yoke. Now, would you know that you've been under the yoke? Absolutely. I want you to yoke yourself up and abide in me. And you're going to learn of me. You're going to have an experience, not an intellectual academic, which goes zero. It can't produce. It has to have life. And God is that life. God is that life. And without God, it won't happen. So therefore, my point I wanted to get at in the light of John, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Now, get your head under that yoke. For, verse 30, my yoke, not your yoke, my yoke, under my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's quite bearable. Back over to 1 John, verse 3, chapter 4, excuse me, chapter, chapter 5 and verse 3. Chapter 5, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, they're not heavy. God said, I told you to put your head under my yoke and learn of me. And I want you to know the education is necessary. The experience is vital to have it, abiding in the branch abiding in the vine. Without it, nothing. Remember John 15:5, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. So it's vital. They say, well, you'll never get there. And that's why we got a whole bunch of people going to whatever churches or whatever, including ourselves probably, and have nothing. I don't see it. Doesn't mean it isn't there. It isn't very obvious. I must pass Christians somewhere. Now, in the light of that, dear friends, now, in the light, over if you would please. Now, you say, well, here we are. Now, God, I got to add this little piece and you'll have it. Over if you would, go to this, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And you need to have it in front of you, at least visually, see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And he doesn't make you just saved. He gives you a unique relationship to Christ. How can I have a unique relationship to Christ? Because that unique relationship to Christ is in the body. It isn't a bunch of people floating around out here. What does God do when he saves you? He places you in his Son as his body. Do you understand that? chapter 12, picking it up, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For, verse 13, for by one Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, are we all baptized, placed into, immersed into what? One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made or been all made to drink in one. That's right. It's one body. Now over to Hebrews chapter 12. So when we're talking about loving one another, what are we talking about? It's God's love in the believing heart that had better be free to love. Otherwise, you're cutting it off. And you aren't abiding anymore. You have to be abiding. So it has to have the love, my love. So my love's coming in. It has to come out. Inflow must outflow or else no flow. It has to come out. So God, what are we saying? You're in the body. We're talking about what? The body. Every believer that's truly, truly saved is in the body. You have to be in the body. You can't be separate from the body. You may be a goof and flesh and carnal and stupid about your whole thing. Totally dumb about being saved and going to church, quote unquote. But either you're saved or you're not. And if you're saved, you're in the body. That's all there is to it. There's no discussion about it. There's no big book that needs to be written. Either you believe or you don't. Either you're saved or you're not. If you're saved, you're in the body. Oh, no, I don't like that. It doesn't question whether you like it. It's like saying that you all have, a liver. Everyone has to have a liver. It does over 100 functions, right? You all have livers? Most of you do? You all have livers. Okay. Now, and the liver says, listen, I love the pancreas. I hate the kidney. I don't like the kidney at all. No, I don't like the kidney. What do you think? You say, what a stupid thought, because it's in the body. You can't be in the body, any part of it, top to bottom. Every single part is delighted to find itself in the kidneys, with the lungs, with all the stuff is in there. And boy, it gets sick, then everybody's concerned, but boy, that all belongs together. You understand that? Well, we're in the body. The believers are in the body. And it's His love. And that's why you're going to have to do it. But I'm trying to help you understand. Want to be realistic and objective. I need to understand that truth so that I don't function here in a stupid way. And I'm picking and choosing. I can't pick and choose kidney, liver, something else. It's the body. Whether I'm in East Oshkosh or on the top of a mountain or in a valley, whoever's there, they're saved, they're saved. Now, to the degree that we can exercise a relationship to them is something else. But boy, I know they're in my body. I don't have a problem with that. If you're saved, if you're really saved, I don't know that, most people. If they're saved, if they're saved, then they're in the body. I have to love them. But then what? God so loved the whom? John 3:16. God so loved the what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who should not perish but what? Have everlasting life. God, You gave. So what? I love even the bad people. See. I love him. The guy just killed 35 people. I'm using illustration. And I'm going to take my bean shooter out, and I'm going to shoot him. God loves him. I know God loves him. But he's gone. He can't go shoot 35 people. And he's going to shoot 36 if I don't hit him with my bean gun. Understand? So that's what I'm going to do. That's why I have to go to war. I have to do things. God died for all of them. But we all live in, either we leave God out of whatever, and our life, and we leave it, and it goes. So you have carnal, fleshly, you only can fellowship to the degree that it's possible. But boy, I don't want to lose that God loves them all. Christ died for them all, especially for the body. Hebrews chapter 12, we read it the other day, verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? How can you be in the same branch, in the same tree, and not have the same life? How can you be in the same table with the same father and not have the same father's discipline and love? You have to have it. Have to have it. Verse 8, but if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, God the Father is going to deal with all every believer, then are ye bastards, illegitimate sons, and not sons indeed. Wow. And verse 10, for they verily for a few days, fathers, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Wow. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No. About grievous. Heavy. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised. So God, what do you want? Be exercised by it. Over, if you would please, to Matthew. What I'm trying to say is, if you're real believers in the body and you're active enough, then we can express that relationship and experience it. If you live over there in the hills and never go to church and never do whatever, and you may be saved. That God loves the person he saved. That's what I know. It doesn't matter. If they receive the Lord as their Savior, they're saved. And if they're saved, God loves them. And they're in the body. Then I do that. But they are connected. So it isn't a question, I don't love him. I may have to go with my bean gun and get him. If I was an officer of the law or something, I'd have to go do that. That's all right. That's all right. There has to be in the world. But when the body, which is supposed to be assembled together on the Lord's day like this, that body is visible, functioning, and there, the rest of it's all over the place. They aren't even out there. They're all doing what they do. And listen, God loves them. I love them. But I can't go because they're in the body. And over, if you would, John chapter 13. I think John 13. Chapter 13. God will say it. He already said it. I'm just going to read it again. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. What is that? That you love one another. You love one another as I have loved you. That's the condition, always the condition. God is the source of love and the standard, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How so? If you have love one to another. How can you show being saved? Being saved means you belong to the body. And if you're disconnected, church is done, and you do whatever, you have no connection. Now, how does that show? Because you have to love the body. You have to do it. And all men, that the evidence is, they don't see the head. The head is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. They see his body, evidence with the believers that are left on earth, Peter, James, and John, and now us, and others. Here we are. They see us. They're looking for what? Where's the evidence? Loving. What are they going to see when you love? The body. Whose love? Christ's love. Not your love. I love the way you, whatever. No. No. It has nothing to do with a stupid condition of anything. It has to do with a relationship. And I need to see that and understand that. And by this shall all men know you're my disciples. And without it, the church is just, this church does this, and this church does that, and this one does this. Where's the connection? Where's the connection? Where's the common life? The common love. Wow. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Otherwise, they don't know. I love God, but I don't go to church. You'll never show it. You can never prove it. You watch where I am. I don't have to do that. Then you can't show the love of God, can you? How are you going to show the love of God? You show the love of God in the body. You love the body. Oh, I don't care about going to church. That's how about that? What does that say? In the light of the book. In the light of what God has said. Now tell me now about your joy. You don't go. Tell me about the joy. Do you have God's wonderful joy in your life? Zero. The answer question is easy. Now, so therefore, God help us. And time is gone. I wish I could have helped you more. But in the process, God will pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, we stumble through this a little bit. And it's a simple, awesome thing. God, we just are so foreign to us, so distant from our understanding, so distant from the world in which we live, from the people in and around us, so different. God, you got to help us. Spirit of God, thank you very, very much. Thank you. Help us. And our God, we're going to thank you. And for those who know God, have not received you as their Savior, convince them that without you, they're dead in trespasses and sin, and they have no life. You are the life. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.